this series. I am so glad that we can enjoy it. I'm going to just borrow this. Just make sure you get it back for next service. How's that? Today I want to talk to you about the vanity mirror. I had my wife go out and buy one of these. This is the enemy of every woman, right? No, this is your best friend. You know, it's amazing they even have these mirrors. When you walk by Macy's or different places in the mall, you can look into this, and it's about 100 times larger than what it really needs to be. You can see every single pore. I did not shave real well there. Wow. I'm getting old. Every blemish. Every single blemish. It magnifies it, doesn't it? These vanity mirrors, so that you can really get deep into it and get rid of those things. It magnifies it, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. You guys are huge. You know, I don't like these things personally. I'd just soon not even have a mirror because I don't want to see all my imperfections, right? You walk by these things and that's all you see. You walk by and you see a mirror, it's like, oh, easy now. And all of a sudden you realize things are wrong, right? And so what do? We hide them. We hide them. They have all kinds of things you can do to hide imperfections. And we're good at hiding things, aren't we? Because we don't want to be exposed. I like listening. Growing up, I loved listening to a radio commentator. His name was Paul Harvey. And he had this thing called The Rest of the Story. Good day. And that was Paul Harvey. How many of you remember Paul Harvey? Oh, my goodness, good. Everybody over the age of 30. Paul Harvey had this awesome way, this unique way of telling stories, didn't he? And it was just, you just enjoyed it. You could listen to him for days. I remember when I was living in Alabama, he told a story about a lady from Saginaw, Michigan. And he said every year this lady loved to go to Florida in the middle of winter to leave Michigan. And you know what it's like in the middle of winter. You want to leave Michigan. And she went down there every year to work on her tan. And so she'd go to the same resort, the same hotel, and she would work on her tan. Now, she would go up to the top of the roof, and she would, at this particular hotel where nobody else could go, and she would lay out on the roof to get a tan. And she didn't like getting tan lines. And, of course, Paul Harvey, he tells it so much better than I ever could. And she's up there, and there's only one way to really get a tan without tan lines. One is in a sleeping bag, and the other one is, well, you know, if you don't want tan lines, in your birthday suit. There you go. Okay, so she's up there getting her tan. And as Paul Harvey tells the story, he said there she was getting her tan when all of a sudden the manager of the hotel comes out on the roof and says, "Ma'am, you're going to have to stop doing this. You can't do this." And she says, "It's okay. I'm on the top of the roof where nobody else can see me." He says, "Ma'am, you're going to have to leave. You can't do this on the top of the roof." She said, "It's okay because I'm on the top of the roof. I'm high enough up that nobody else can see me because I'm on the roof." And, of course, then he says the rest of the story. And the manager says, "Fine, ma'am, but at least get off the skylight to our dining room." And now you know the rest of the story. Right? That poor woman was laying out on the skylight to the dining room, and I'm thinking to myself, you're having dinner. Oh, my goodness. How embarrassing, and how embarrassing when you are exposed. And, you know, we are really good at hiding our flaws and the embarrassment. And what would it be like to stand before a holy God one day, completely without hiding, without anything to stand behind? We are going to be completely exposed before our God one day. And are you ready for this? That's today. You know, we already are. There's nothing. We are so good at playing hide and seek with God. We are so good, and God has this magnifying glass, and all of a sudden we look at God and we're like, oh my goodness. When we look at the enormous, just the grandeur of our God, and we stand before him, we realize I'm naked. I'm standing before God, and all of my impurities, all of my imperfections are here. and yet we try to hide. In Genesis chapter 3, in verses 8 through 10, Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. And then they messed everything up. The image got tainted by Satan. They ate. The bite heard around the world, and they ate from the fruit. And now the Bible says the man and his wife heard the sound of this beautiful God that they loved, that they fellowshipped with, that we love to be with. And he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord their God among the trees. You know, we're good at hiding. Hey, if we get behind this tree, Eve, I don't think God will see that we're naked. Right? You know how good we are at hiding from God? If I don't go to church, maybe God won't know I'm messed up. We live in a world where people hide from God. Trust me, the language goes like this. I don't go to church. Why don't you go to church? Because it's full of those hypocrites. What do you mean it's full of hypocrites? I'm not going to go to church because it's full of those holier-than-thous. Everybody at church, they just think they're better than everyone else. No, 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 they don't. You and I come to church and we realize we're naked. We are sinners. We look in the mirror when we go to church. Don't you do this when you go to church? Don't you go, oh, boy, that is a big hole right here. I could use some makeup. And we hide and we cover. And so people who are in sin that are messed up, they go, I'm not going to church. I don't go to church because if I go to church, God is going to pull his big magnifying glass out and I will realize what a sinner I am. Well, guess what? If you don't go to church, what a big sinner you are. We're all sinners. Guess what? Your pastor, too. I come to church and I think, oh, God, we've got a lot of work to do. And he goes, that's why you're here. But we hide from God. Look what it says. And they hid from God. But the Lord called and says, where are you? And this morning, I would say this to 70,000 people in the Blue Water area. Where are you? And they answered, I heard you in the garden, God. I heard you. And I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. And we live in a world where we hide things. And we think we're getting away with it, don't we? When I was 14 years old, I came home from school in California. My parents both worked. And I decided to make some tomato soup. I'm really good at making tomato soup. That was the one thing I could do. And in the afternoon, I put some soup on the stove. I put the milk in there, and I put the tomato can mix in there. And I went into the living room, and I started watching cartoons. I forgot I was making tomato soup. I had it cranked on high. I could hear things boiling. I thought, something's wrong. I could see smoke. I went running into the kitchen. I can't make this up. I didn't know this was possible. I picked up the pan, and I saw that everything was just going crazy. The pan on the bottom had started melting. I had metal dripping on the floors. I picked it up on my mom's linoleum. Just a clump of the pan was dripping. I thought, it's melting. And as soon as I figured it out, all the parts that had melted so much had dripped. And I thought, I'm in trouble. I'll hide what I've done. I took the pan out back and I buried it in the yard, thinking, now that it's buried, my mom will never know what happened. I grabbed a rug because the linoleum had a hole in metal, this aluminum alloy, metal, whatever. Somebody made some really cheap pans. It was on the floor in front of the stove. I just grabbed a throw rug from another room, and I set it down in the kitchen, thinking my mom will never know that there's a throw rug in her kitchen, and she'll never pull it up. Years will go by. I'll be long gone before she discovers what had happened. I really thought I was pretty clever. I was hiding the mistake. It didn't take her 5 minutes. What's this rug doing on the floor? And I said what every teenager says to their parents. I don't know. Which every parent at that moment goes, you're hiding something. She pulls the rug up. She says, what happened? And I said, oh, my goodness, I don't know. Right? You've dealt with your kids. They've all done this. I came home a few years, it seems like it's only yesterday. My wife and I decided to take a week's vacation, go away, and leave our three teenage boys in charge of their sisters and the house. We came home. Everywhere in the house, there were holes in the wall. The size of a BB. Indents everywhere. Holes in the shades on the double doors going outside. Holes everywhere. My glass of my hunting dogs in the frame, the glass broken, and BBs inside. BBs everywhere. We asked our boys, what happened? I don't know. That's what they all said. Ask the oldest, what happened? I don't know. Ask the second, I don't know. Ask the third, what happened? I don't know. Finally, after discovering hundreds of airsoft pellets everywhere, carpet, the couch, under the bed, my boys had all their buddies over and indoors had an airsoft BB war gun game. Hundreds of dollars later, having somebody remud our entire house and replacing all the stuff, they still said, I don't know what happened. You know why? Because even though we mess things up, we look at God and we go, I don't know. What did you do? I don't know. Adam, what did you do? I don't know. Eve did it. Right? Good husband, right? What happened? My wife did it. He goes over to Eve. What did you do? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? What happened? Why are you hiding? Why do you know you're naked? Why are you ashamed? The devil made me do it. Devil, what did you do? Hey, I'm not taking the fall here. Everybody's to blame. And there it is. The Imago Dei, the image of God, is so messed up that you and I, in the mirror of God, are afraid to face God because we don't want to say what God already knows. I already know you melted the pan. I already know you had an airsoft game war. I already know that you're a sinner. I already know that you have blemishes. I already know that you're imperfect. So I send my son, Jesus Christ, to fix your problems. And all of a sudden, everything turns around, and it's not so bad. And some of you right now are going, that is really bright. Because that's what happened when God shined his light in this world. He brought Jesus Christ, and he came to shine his image on you. There, now that I know you're all awake, because if you're not awake, the ones that aren't awake aren't even squinting. God bless you. God wants to change everything. And King David is our story in Psalm 51. It's a beautiful story. King David is no different than you and I. He is king. He's powerful. He doesn't have to apologize to anybody. God does something really, really awesome in his life. His spirit is messed up. And I want to give you the three things in this that can help us change so that we can get this image of God back. Because there is nothing you've done in your life that will keep you from God's love. Amen. Let me just say that again. Some of us are so afraid that we've messed up that somehow God won't love us anymore. Can I tell you something? God already knew you were a mess. God already knew, he knows that you melt the kitchen. He knows that you destroyed the house. He knows that you've sinned. He knows your lips are unclean. He knows sometimes your thoughts aren't pure. He knows that you say things that you regret. He knows that you're a mess, and he still loves you. I don't know what you came to hear this morning, but the best news I've ever heard, I came here to worship a God who never quits on me, and he already knows my mess, and then in the middle of my mess, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, right into my war zone. He didn't do it after I cleaned up and found peace. He did it in the midst of my lack of peace. He did it in my sin. While I was in the slop, while I was in the mud, while I was in the mire, God sent Jesus Christ to come into the mire. Isn't that good news? And so let me just share it with you. Three things here. Number one, David is crying out. Remember, David has committed a sin. He's up on the roof and he sees Bathsheba every night. Every night he's looking at Bathsheba and he sees her and he says, wow, wow. And finally, his mess just overtakes him. He brings her into the palace. He has relations with her. And he's thinking to himself, I've got to hide this. I've got to put the rug over the floor. And so what does he do? He says, I don't know what happened. And she's married to Uriah. And he says, hey, to his general, get Uriah to the front of the battle. Send him right into Baghdad. Send him right into the heart of Fallujah. Make sure that Uriah is leading the charge at the worst battle possible. We'll let the Amalekites take care of my mess. They'll kill Uriah, and then Bathsheba will be a single woman, and then I'll take her as my wife because she's pregnant. Wow, you think you've got a mess? You think you try to hide your stuff from God? You think that you've messed up and you say, you know what, I'll just cover this up. This is one of the biggest cover-ups in all of the Bible. And now let's follow this. So this is all going on, right? And you know what God does? God says, I'm going to send a mirror into his life. And he says, sends the prophet Nathaniel. You know, God often does that in our lives. When we think we're a mess, God will give us a mirror. Sometimes that mirror will be a pastor. Sometimes that mirror will be a friend. But you know what? God sends us a mirror, doesn't he? And we look and we're like, oh, you know why people don't come to church because the pastor says something. They go, I can't go to that church. The pastor knows. He keeps preaching about this stuff. It's like he's talking right to me. How many of you know you come in here week after week and God's talking right to you? Right? How many of you know when you open up the Bible, you're like, oh, boy, that's me. That is me. I needed to hear that. This morning, some of you are going to go, I came in here today. This is exactly what I'm dealing with. Some of you are trying to hide stuff in your life that you haven't dealt with, and you are hiding behind the tree, and God is saying, where are you? Not that he doesn't know where you are, but he's asking you the question so that you'll come out from behind the tree, and you'll stand there, and you'll go, okay, God, I have nothing to hide anymore. How embarrassing. You know my sin. So here it is. The first thing is in verse 10. In Psalm 51:10, David says, create in me a pure heart, O God. And then what does he say? Help me. What's the word? Renew. You know what? Aren't you glad that God renews us? Let me say it again. Aren't you glad that God renews us? Boy, I need to be renewed every single day. I live in a world that just wants to put the junk in. And I tell you, it's almost kind of like you got to take a bath every day, don't you? It's almost like you have to wash your mind. You almost have to do stuff. I tell you, there's just stuff in the politics, in the economics. There's just stuff. There's just junk. And you hear stuff and you're like, why did I have to hear that? Why did I have to see that? And there's just junk in our lives. And David says, create in me a clean heart. Ugly is a mirror. Ugly is a mirror. Ladies, every day, it's amazing how much money Avon makes. Ladies, ugly is a mirror. And I'm saying this to you ladies because Avon may make a lot of money, but the gymnasium makes a lot of money for men who never go. I got a membership. I'm a member of a gym, and I know the owner real well. He and his wife attend here quite often. And I was talking to him. He says, we have 3,000 members. I said, that's funny. I don't see more than 30 people at the gym when I go. Where's the other 2,970 people? He goes, most of them, 80% of them almost never use their membership. But they pay every month. Why? Because they stand in front of the mirror and they go, I really need to get to the gym. Right? The mirror is ugly. Let me just say this. The mirror is ugly. I was watching a video. This is true. This is absolutely true. Charcoal masks. I didn't even know these things existed. Have you seen the phenomenon? They got on YouTube a girl. She takes these charcoal masks. I guess, ladies, this is for ladies. Maybe men do this too. I don't know. Maybe if you guys do this, just you can give me your man card at the door when you leave. But there's these things called charcoal masks. And so it's a girl named Cachette Rayner, she's 17. She endured agonizing pain for more than 3 minutes, and it's on YouTube. It's gone viral. 600 million people have seen this video. It's gone viral. And she's peeling this black mask off her face, and you hear her screaming for the next 2 to 3 minutes. I mean, she is screaming. She's crying. And I'm thinking to myself, you put it on. Confession is good. She said, quote, "It felt like my face was going to come off with the mask," she told Inside Edition. Quote, "I was hoping it would take away the pores and whiteheads and blackheads because the mirror is ugly." Guess what? It almost took her face off. It was so painful. But here's what she did. Instead of just getting this mask, she got these charcoal tablet things that are used for digesting for health reasons. She broke them up, took Elmer's glue, and mixed it up. Now I'm thinking to myself, who does not know? Do not put Gorilla Glue on your face or Elmer's glue or epoxy or anything else. Oh, no, no, no. We're just going to mix it up and make a homemade mask and put it on our face and then fell asleep overnight with it on. Well, of course that's going to hurt. And you know why? Because she was so desperate. And she looked like she was a beautiful young lady. And if I were her parents, I'd be like, "You're a beautiful girl. What are you doing?" Because that mirror says, "Hide, for you are ugly and ashamed." That's what Adam and Eve did. And that's what humans have been doing from God ever since. We don't feel beautiful. We don't feel worthy. And she peeled this thing off in sheer agony to get rid of the impurities. David said, "God, cast away. Don't take your spirit from me. Renew a right spirit. I feel sick to my stomach." In verse 3, there's a mirror in David's life. And he says, "I know my transgressions." Look what it says. "My sin is always in front of me." My sin is always. I'm always seeing this. All I could think about is that night with Bathsheba. All I could think about is Uriah out there screaming in agony, and I let my warriors leave him be as the arrows and the sword struck him down. That's all I think about. I am a horrible human being. God, I'm horrible. There's no salvation for me. I am not going to heaven. And yet the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Acts chapter 13, the Bible says, "And David was a man after God's own heart." How in the world can you be a man after God's own heart? Here it is. Because God renews us. God's always renewing us if we'll stand there and just simply say, "God, forgive me of my sins. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew your spirit." I don't know about you, but I came in this morning and I need a renewed spirit. Amen? I woke up this morning. I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. This is a day you've made. We're on our way." My daughter just had a birthday, and I said, "Happy birthday. As you make the next 365 days of your journey around the sun one more time until next year, you're on a journey, you're on an adventure, and you're about to spin one more time around the sun. I hope the next 365 days are great." And you know what? Every moment of every day is great because God is renewing us in that. And no matter what your journey is, God wants to change your heart and renew you so that you can have a right spirit. Let me just say this. Sin will destroy you. David says, "It's crushing my bones within me." I don't know about you, but when you're not in a good place, that's depressing. Some of you are dealing with anxiety in your life. Your bones are being crushed. David said, "My bones are being crushed because this sin is always before me." Let me just say, sin ought to crush us because sin is crushing. We ought to be the same way. We ought to say, "God, renew a right spirit within me." David is so afraid that he's on his way to hell. Listen, we don't have a very good mirror in the world today because some of us think we can go ahead and sin and do anything we want and God doesn't care. This is my hellfire and brimstone moment. Let me just take 2 seconds to say this. God has a mirror to reflect to say, "I am a sinner, period." I'm to look into this mirror and go, "He's holy. Oh, boy. Oh, and my sin is magnified looking at my God." I can look and say, "Wow, compared to Kevin, I'm not a very good guy. Compared to Ty, hey, I'm a pretty good guy. Compared to Chris, I'm a pretty good guy. Who am I comparing myself to?" And I start looking at God and I go, "Oh, I'm a mess. I don't compare myself to anybody else." We live in this world where somehow we think that hell is something that's for bad people. Let me just be as clear as I can. There is a hell. There's a hell that was created for one thing, that all sin and all of Satan and all of his demons, it was created for them to live in an eternal lake of fire. But help us, church. There is a heaven to gain for us and a hell to shun. There's a real hell. And if we have sin in our lives, if we have impurities in our lives, and we think we're going to hide from God, our result is to be separated from God for eternity. Let me just say this. There are 80,000 people a day that die and go into an eternity without God. That is my hellfire and brimstone. There's a real hell, and people die every single day and go to a place called hell. Not because God wants them to, but because they hide themselves from God and act like I can live with my sin behind the tree and God will never notice it. And they're going to stand before the Lord on that day when they pass, when you and I die, we will stand before a holy God and we will be naked and exposed. And you have to ask one question. Has my spirit been renewed in Christ? Have I been made clean by the blood of the Lamb? That is our hope and glory. But without that, folks, there is no hope. David said in Psalm 51:11, "Do not cast me away from your presence, God." David, King David, said, "God, I do not want to go to hell. What I've done has earned me hell. Sin cannot enter into heaven." And you say, "Well, it's adultery and murder." Let me just say this. The Bible talks about gossip more than it does about murder and adultery. Division is talked about. Grumbling and complaining is talked about for those who, in fact, if you really want to know, read the book of Revelation, and I'll tell you the number one sin that's listed before adulterers, witchcraft and sorcery, and murderers. It's cowards. Did you know coward, being a coward is a sin? Yeah. Fearing God is not a sin, but fearing other things and so you don't do what's right, that's the biggest sin that's listed in the number one litany in the book of Revelation. So before we think that we're going to walk into heaven and my sin isn't so bad, sin is serious. And God holds up this magnifying glass and we, like Adam and Eve, just want to run and hide. Don't run from God. He loves you. The second thing, he says, create in me a clean heart. And then the second thing, he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Verse 12, he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Let me just say this. I think it's really important for us to have joy in our lives. Amen. There's nothing greater than joy. You may not have happiness, but you can have joy. You may not have happenings. Hey, listen, the car may break down. You live in Michigan, your car will break down. It may not be 80 degrees every day. You will get snow, and the snow will pile up in your front yard this winter, okay? You will not always be happy from happenings, but you can always have joy. You could jump out in that snowbank and you can make snow angels or snow devils. You can curse the snow or you can bless the snow. But the snow's going to be there with or without your curse. So you might as well have joy. And joy is unspeakable. It's something that happens inside. And it happens because you know the Lord and you know He's in charge. And I go to the doctor to get x-rays. I just went recently to get x-rays. They said, "We don't know what's going on inside." I said, "I don't know what's going on inside." They said, "Are you stressed?" I said, "I don't know." That was my doctor. She said, "Are you stressed?" I said, "I don't know." She goes, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, we have a lawsuit with a mall owner. Our mall, our church is being moved. We're in a construction. We have over $500,000 loan. We're trying to get permits pulled. We don't have the permits. I just had a grandson born, and I've got this, 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 and this going on." And she said, "Okay, we need to get an x-ray and see what's happening inside of you." And so they injected me and put me in this tube to x-ray my brain, and the results came back, and they said, "We x-rayed your brain, and we didn't find anything." That's what my results said. I said, "My wife could have told you that, and I wouldn't have paid thousands of dollars." They wanted to see what was happening inside because what was happening outside didn't show what was happening inside. Listen, as a Christian, you don't know what's happening inside sometimes. We can hide those things, but God knows, and He x-rays us, and He holds up the standards, and He says this, "Let's restore the joy." You know, we smile on the outside, but we're stressed on the inside. We smile on the outside and say, "How are you?" "Oh, I'm fine. How are you?" "Oh, I'm good." And we walk away going, "Oh, I'm so stressed on the inside." And God wants to restore our joy. God had, so let's close it out this way. David had a mirror that was held up to him. David is hiding. David's like, "I think I got away with it. I think I got away with this. I got away with this." And he's feeling really good. So let me just close the service this way. I want to show you a scripture in 2 Samuel. God sends a mirror. His name is Nathan. He's a prophet. Oftentimes, God will send someone to us to help us see what we think we need to see. The Lord sent Nathan to David. And when he came to him, he said this. Hey, as your pastor, I want to tell you a story. You ever have that? Pastor Mitch comes in and says, hey, can I talk to you? About what? Let me tell you a story. There were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle. But the poor man, he had nothing except one little lamb. And he bought it. He raised it. Oh, he raised it. It grew up with him and his children. It even came in the house. It was like a pet. It shared his food. It drank from his cup. It even slept in the house with him. I mean, this was a cute little lamb, right? I mean, they love this lamb. The kids even named it. It was like a daughter to him. Now, a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man, and he killed it, prepared it to eat for the one who had come to him. Well, David burned with anger. He says, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He deserves death. And Nathan said, you're that man. Ooh, right? The mirror got turned. You're the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king of Israel. I delivered you from the hand of King Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives in your arm. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this was too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and you took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Amorites. Now the sword will never depart your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. And this is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I'm going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them one that's close to you, and he will lie with your wife in broad daylight. And then he says this, you did it in secret, but I'm going to do this in broad daylight. Wow, see that? Aren't we good at hiding? Aren't we good at thinking, well, nobody will ever know? And God says, listen, whatever you're doing, one day, it's going to be in broad daylight. You're going to stand before a throne. You're going to look around going, where's the tree? Or you're going to say, I have a tree. I don't hide behind a tree anymore. I don't hide like Adam and Eve anymore. Adam and Eve were ashamed because they were naked and they hid behind a tree. Ah, but Jesus Christ came and he clothed me with the garments of praise. He clothed me with righteousness. He took all of my rags and he clothed me. And I stand behind a tree. When I go to heaven, I'm going to stand behind a tree. Are you? You know the tree I'm going to stand behind? It's called Calvary. There was a tree and my Savior is crucified on it. You see, when I stand in heaven, I would say, who melted the linoleum? Who put holes in my wall? No, I'm going to stand before God in heaven. And my fear used to be, I'm going to stand there naked and ashamed, a sinner. As I walk up to the throne of heaven, I'm going to walk up, and before I get before God, and Satan says, look how naked that man is. Look how awfully dirty he is. Look at that sinner, God. He was a pastor. Look at him. He is disgusting. Jesus is going to step off the throne at the right hand of God. He's going to come down with his garment. He's going to come down and he's going to say, hold on, Dad. And he's going to put a garment of praise of righteousness on me. He's going to take his clothes off. And my Jesus stands naked before God and says, I have taken his shame. He is clothed in my righteousness. He is my child. And oh, what a mirror that will be when I look into the eyes of my God, clean, renewed, and restored. And the joy of my salvation because the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
How about you? Do you have the joy of the Lord in your life this morning? Do you have the joy of the Lord?